And without further ado, we are at the top of the hour, so I would like to introduce our presenter today. We have Dr. Ashok Reddy. He is a VA HSR&D physician investigator, core investigator in the primary care analytics unit at VA Puget Sound and an assistant professor at University of Washington Division of General Medicine.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to present our work from the primary care analytics team. This talk is entitled Impact of High-Cost Healthcare Utilization Due to Changes in the Patient-Centered Medical Home Implementation from 2012 to 2015. Let me first introduce myself. I'm a primary care provider at the VA Puget Sound here in Seattle and a core investigator at the Center of Innovation for Veteran-Centered and Value-Driven Care. I also completed a health services research training at the University of Pennsylvania, where I first got interested in evaluations of the patient-centered medical home. In today's talk, I'm going to review briefly what the patient-centered medical home is and about the VA's implementation of the patient-centered medical home called Patient-Aligned Care Teams, or PACT. I will discuss patient-centered medical home's impact on healthcare utilization, both inside and outside the VA. And finally, I will discuss the work of the PCAT team, the primary care analytics team, work on measuring PACT implementation, association of PACT implementation on outcomes, and the research question today that we will be reviewing is improvement in PACT implementation associated with changes in high-cost utilization. Now I'm going to hand it back to Molly to go through a couple of poll questions.
Thank you. So for our attendees, as you can see up on your screen, you do have the first poll question. We'd like to get an idea of what is your primary role in VA. We understand that many of you hold many wear many different hats within the organization, so we'd like to get an idea of your primary role. So just please click the circle next to your response. The answer options are student, trainee, or fellow, clinician, researcher, administrator, manager, or policymaker, or other. And please note, if you're selecting other, at the end of the presentation, I'll put up a feedback survey with a more extensive list of job titles, so you might find your exact one to select there. And it looks like we've had just over half of our attendees respond. I'm going to give people a few more seconds. This is a question you can't get wrong, so go ahead and feel free to answer. All right, looks like we're about two-thirds of our audience has replied, so I'm going to go ahead and close this out and share those results. 14% selected student, trainee, or fellow, 14% selected clinician, 21% selected researcher, 14% administrator, manager, or policymaker, and 36% selected other. So thank you to those respondents. I'm going to go ahead and close this poll out. And do you have any commentary, or would you like me to launch the second one, Dr. Reddy?
No, let's go into the second one.
Excellent. So now we'd like to get an idea. If you have any involvement with PACT, what is your involvement? So again, please select one, provider, meaning physician, NP or PA, et cetera, RN, case manager, mental health provider, such as psychologist or psychiatrist, other staff, or not involved with PACT. And if you are other staff, please feel free to use the question section at the bottom of your control panel to write in what your role is in PACT. And looks like people are a little more responsive to this one. We're at 70% response rate. So I'm going to go ahead and close this out and share those results. So of those that replied, we have 12% selected provider, 0 RN case managers, 12% mental health provider, 24% selected other, and just over half the audience, 53% selected not involved with PACT. I'm sorry, 53% of respondents. So thank you again. And I will close that out. We're back on your slides now, Dr. Reddy.
Great. Thank you, everyone. It sounds like there are some people who are familiar with PACT and some people who are not, so this will be great. Thank you, Molly. So For over two decades, the patient-centered medical home has been touted as a way to improve quality and lower costs. The patient-centered medical home is a way to redesign and restructure primary care delivery to focus on team-based care, enhancing access to care, delivering coordinated and comprehensive care, using a systems approach to quality and safety, including data feedback, and developing a partnership with patients, really working out through a shared decision making. And this framework of the patient-centered medical home is supported by all major health plans, including Medicare, commercial health plans, and the VA. But evidence for the patient-centered medical home is mixed, especially on high-cost utilizations, including ED visits, ambulatory care-sensitive condition hospitalizations, and all-cause hospitalizations. In this slide, I want to review a couple of major recent evaluations of the patient-centered medical home. The first is the Comprehensive Primary Care Initiative. This is a multi-payer primary care medical home model sponsored by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services Innovation Center. It involved over 2,000 providers at 500 practices across seven regions in the U.S., providing care for nearly 3 million patients. The program provided risk-adjusted care management fees, or sort of a per-member, per-month payment, to help these practices adopt the medical home. After 4 years, patients seen at the Comprehensive Primary Care Initiative practices had 10 fewer ED visits per 1,000 patients, Medicare patients, when compared to non-CPC comparison practices, and 5 fewer hospitalizations. The hospitalizations were not statistically significant. In Michigan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, a private payer, launched a similar patient-centered medical home initiative in 2009 that covered nearly 2,000 practices across the state. Practices with high patient-centered medical home implementation achieved an 11% reduction in ED utilization and 14% reduction in hospitalizations for the patient-centered medical home targeted conditions. These included things like diabetes, COPD, congestive heart failure, and hypertension. Yet a recent meta-analysis of 11 major patient-centered medical home interventions did not include work from the VA, or was not associated with changes in ED visits, ambulatory care-sensitive condition hospitalizations, or all-cause hospitalizations. And the question I ask is, why is the evidence for the patient-centered medical home so mixed? Well, few patient-centered medical home studies are randomized. Randomized studies are costly and often not feasible. I think a big issue is that patient-centered medical home is a conceptual framework, not a physical thing. This is an important point. It is not a drug or a medical device. It includes concepts like team-based care, care coordination, continuity, shared decision-making, concepts that are difficult to measure systematically. As a result, what is being tested, or the intervention itself, varies across studies, and the variation is frequently not completely described. And finally, the patient-centered medical home takes time to build. Changing the infrastructure and culture is difficult. Now I want to tell you a little bit about the VA's implementation of the patient-centered medical home. The VA adopted the patient-centered medical home model in 2010 at nearly 60 medical centers and over 800 community-based clinics. The VA cares for over 5 million primary care patients, providing nearly 16 million annual primary care visits. The VA's adoption of the patient-centered medical home is called PACT, or Patient-Aligned Care Team. For those who are unfamiliar with PACT, here's a description of the expected sort of infrastructure for each PACT team. One primary care provider is associated with a panel close to 1,200 patients. This panel should have a dedicated clerk, RN care manager, and medical assistant. Outside this core group, PACT is often linked to pharmacists, social workers, and a behavioral health team. When it comes to measuring the effect of PACT implementation outcomes, there are several challenges in the VA. First, the VA had a simultaneously rollout, allowing for no control group, and the expectation that the patient-centered medical home transformation can happen nearly instantly. And second, there's no gold standard way to measure the patient-centered medical home. For example, current measures of medical home capabilities using NCQA, or National Committee for Quality Assurance, did not apply to the VA because of the already existing infrastructure within the VA that included the electronic health record system and the performance measurement system. To deal with these challenges, the VA and colleagues at the primary care analytics team came up with a couple different methods and ways to measure the impact of the program on patient outcomes. One way was to measure the impact on patient outcomes using a study design that would allow you to estimate outcomes if there was no PACT intervention. This method, called an interrupted time series, which uses a long-run time trend in utilization and measures the estimated deviation from the long-run trends following PACT implementation. Here is a visualization of the interrupted time series for a PACT outcome. On the x-axis, you have time, and on the y-axis, you have a PACT outcome. For example, ED visits. The green vertical line separates a pre and a post period. The orange line represents actual patient outcomes during the PACT intervention, with the blue line in the post period representing the estimated patient outcomes based on trends in the pre period. The light green line represents the difference between an outcome with PACT and without PACT. Using this type of study, my colleague Edwin Wong found similar findings as a previous Health Affairs article using 4 years of data. This includes a decrease in mental health visits, an increase in primary care visits among patients over 65, a decrease in ambulatory care-sensitive condition hospitalization for patients over 65, and reductions in total hospitalizations in both cohorts. I think the major limitation is that it assumes that all PACT components were fully adopted at all clinics at the same time. One way to potentially deal with this variation is to find a way to measure PACT implementation. To do this, my colleague and director of the primary care analytics team, Dr. Kari Nelson, developed the PACT Implementation Progress Index, or PI squared. The goal of this measure was to utilize the already existing patient, provider, and administrative data that exists in the VA to reflect the processes and attributes essential to primary care. In the next few slides, I'm going to go into more details of the Pi Squared implementation score. The score is a composite of 8 domains, each constructed from different data sources. The first 4 domains are patient measures of comprehensiveness, self-management support, patient-centered care, and communication, and shared decision-making. Each of these domain scores are derived from specific questions in the routinely fielded Consumer Assessment of Health Plans, or CAHPS, survey. The next 3 domains come from The next 3 domains come from a combination of patient survey and data from the corporate data warehouse at the VA. These include measures of access, continuity, and coordination of care. And finally, the VA fielded an annual survey to all staff members working in primary care. This 18-item survey is the basis for the team-based care domain. Information on the Pi Squared implementation score is also found in more detail in this JAMA Internal Medicine article from 2014. To create the overall PACT implementation score, or Pi Squared score, each clinic receives a ranking in each domain based on the sum of the standardized mean of each variable. An overall Pi Squared score was calculated for each clinic by counting the number of domains in which the clinic is in the top quartile subtracted by the number of domains in the bottom quartile. This gives a range from 8 to negative 8. Analysis by Nelson have shown that previous cross-sectional studies of Pi Squared have shown that higher PACT implementation scores are associated with higher patient experiences of care, better clinical quality, reduced staff burnout, and reduced rates or lower rates of ED visits, ambulatory care sensitive, and ambulatory care sensitive condition hospitalizations. While previous work has focused on cross-sectional analysis, the next question is there an association between changes in implementation of the patient-centered medical home, or PACT, with high-cost healthcare use? Fundamentally, this is a different and complementary research question. For example, cross-sectional models can be used to determine the extent to which patients in practices with more medical home capabilities receive higher quality or lower levels of utilization. In contrast, a longitudinal model is able to address issues related to transformation or improvement, meaning longitudinal models can estimate the extent to which practices that achieve improvement in structural capabilities have greater improvements in quality and/or utilization. To do this, we conducted a longitudinal retrospective cohort study between 2012 and 2015. We identified 2 cohorts one who was under 65, in which we limited it to VA sites with an ED. This was to better capture all ED visits and hospitalizations. Our second cohort were those who were over 65, in which we were able to capture ED visits outside of the VA using Medicare fee-for-service data. Our primary predictor was change in pi-squared score, which we categorize. And our primary outcomes were ED visits, ambulatory care-sensitive condition hospitalizations, and all-cause hospitalizations in 2015. As described before, each clinic gets a PACT implementation score annually. As I mentioned before, the original pi-squared score ranges from 8 to negative 8. To calculate a change in pi-squared score, we looked at the differences between pi-squared score in 2015 and 2012, giving us a range of scores from 16 to negative 16. In this slide, I wanted to illustrate the variability in pi-squared scores in the 4 years of our study period. In this graph, we plotted a random 10% of clinics with their overall pi-squared score in each of the 4 years. As you can see, there's a fair bit of variability in the scores over time, while the overall pi-squared score stayed relatively constant over the study period. Here you can see that some clinics improved over time, and some clinics also got worse. In this graph, we plotted the distribution of clinic sites by their change score. We created 5 categories based on the distribution. Here, you can see that a majority of practices, around 356 practices, had a score between negative 1 and 1. Meaning these clinics showed no change in their PACT implementation during the study period. We had nearly 10% of practices that had improved, and about 10% of practices also had worse PACT implementation over the study period. For our analysis, we conducted a patient-level mixed effects negative binomial and logistic regression models based on the outcome of interest. In each model, the primary predictor was a change in PACT implementation adjusted for 2012 outcome and the patient-level covariates, including age, sex, race and ethnicity, comorbidity score, they were living in an urban or rural environment, and a VA copayment eligibility. It also included a clinic-level random intercept, which was included to account for clustering at the clinic site. We also conducted 2 sensitivity analyses. In the over 65 cohort, we are able to calculate how reliant a patient is for the VA services. Here the question was, are patients who use the VA or they have increased exposure to PACT likely to benefit from the patient-centered medical home limitation? Among the over 65 cohort, we calculated a reliance using combined VA and Medicare data in the baseline year. Our second sensitivity analysis included an adjustment for pi-squared clinic baseline score. This is because in the current predictor, a low-performing clinic that stays low-performing is treated the same as a high-performing clinic that stays high-performing. However, these clinics may be very different. So we did a stratified analysis based on a VA clinic starting point. Here is our final analytic cohort. We had over 600,000 patients in the under 65 cohort, and we had over 1.6 million patients in the over 65 cohort. In both cohorts, a majority were white and male. However, there's more diversity in the under 65 cohort. In the under 65 cohort, we limited our analysis to sites that had an ER, so CBOX or community-based outpatient clinics did not have an ER. And you can see that over half the cohort over 65 is seen at CBOX. And a fifth of this cohort lives in more rural communities. For each of the six models, I present the p-value from a likelihood ratio test comparing the full model to a model that does not include the predictor of change in PACT implementation score. The likelihood ratio test demonstrates the overall association that a change in PACT implementation had on the model. As you can see, a change in PACT implementation was only significant in the under 65 cohort and only on the ED visit outcome. In this side, I present the model results of the change in PACT implementation versus ED visits among veterans under 65. While we found an association of PACT implementation on ED visits, the association was not consistent. Here, I present the incident rate ratio, p-value, and confidence interval and average marginal effect for each of the five clinic change categories. In the interest of time, I will only talk through the marginal effect, or the predicted number of events per 1,000 patients versus the baseline, which is on the far right-hand side. So in this table, on the far left side, shows the five clinic categories of change, from worst implementation, somewhat worse, no change, somewhat improved, and improved. Here you can see that clinics that had improved impact implementation had nearly 111 less ED visits per 1,000 patients compared to clinics that had no change. However, we also see that clinics that were minimally worse PACT implementation have nearly 70 less ED visits when compared to clinics that had not changed. As I mentioned before, we also conducted two sensitivity analyses. We did a stratified analysis based on the VA clinic starting point, and we used an adjustment of how much a veteran relied on the VA with impact. However, the results did not qualitatively or quantitatively differ from our main findings. The study had several limitations, including it was an observational study. As I mentioned before, there was no control groups, and associations are not causal. Several domain scores rely on self-report from patients and providers, meaning that the patient experience scores, a major component of the PACT implementation, do not have much variation. In conclusion, in a retrospective longitudinal cohort analysis, we found no association with change in PACT implementation on ED visits, all-cause hospitalizations, and ambulatory care-sensitive hospitalizations. As you might imagine, we found these results quite surprising. But going through the literature on the patient-centered medical home, we found some commonalities with studies in non-VA settings. First, few studies have evaluated associations between practice performance on quality and utilization measures using longitudinal models. However, a recent study in medical care by Marthloff and colleagues demonstrated a similar finding to ours. They found in two previous evaluations, both using cross-sectional analysis and longitudinal models, that effects of the patient-centered medical home on quality and utilization were smaller on average in longitudinal analysis. And in fact, in their evaluation, they found higher patient-centered medical home scores were associated with lower ED visits and ambulatory care-sensitive condition hospitalizations, but no association using longitudinal models. Finally, we find that high-cost utilization outcomes are sensitive to the way you measure the medical home. This highlights an earlier point that there is no gold standard in measuring the medical home. Moreover, our efforts demonstrate some of the current limitations in measuring the patient-centered medical home capabilities. I want to thank all the members of the primary care analytics team listed here. And I wanted to leave some time for some questions or comments. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Dr. Reddy. We appreciate the presentation. Can you actually leave up that last slide that has your contact info, please?
Perfect.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So for our attendees, I know many of you joined us after the top of the hour. To submit your questions or comments, please use the GoToWebinar control panel located on the right-hand side of your screen. Down towards the bottom, you'll see a questions section. Just click the arrow next to the word questions. That will expand the dialog box, and you can then submit your question or comment there. And the first one is a comment and question. Thank you for the interesting presentation. Are these slides available, and would you encourage us to share them with our colleagues? And the answer I can, the part I can answer is yes, the slides are available. You can refer back to the reminder email you received a few hours ago, and there's a hyperlink leading to those, or you can write into the question section with your email address, and I can send you a copy. And I will let you take that last part, Dr. Reddy, about sharing these materials around.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I encourage everyone to take a look at this and feel free to share with colleagues and send me sort of additional questions.
Thank you. The next question that came in, can you hypothesize about why we are seeing different results in the cross-sectional versus the longitudinal analyses?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the some of the comments that for the discussion is that is this sort of are sort of cross-sectional models sort of measuring kind of an achievement-based sort of approach of like if you achieve a certain amount of medical home, you will get this result versus a longitudinal analysis, which may capture this sort of does improving in this particular measure of medical home actually translate to sort of improvements in quality or sort of patient outcomes. And I think it sort of touches a little bit on this last point, which is that, I think our measurement of the medical home is still in its infancy, and we're still trying to better measure and find sort of better measures of the medical home itself.
Thank you. The next question, is there anyone, this is going to be a tough one, but we can do it. Is there anyone on the call from Houston, Oklahoma, or Portland? They are doing very well in ACSC admissions and trying to find good contacts. So I'll let you comment on that. And for our attendees, if anyone here is from Houston, Oklahoma, or Portland, feel free to write into the question section and provide us any insight on how you are doing with the ACSC admissions. And any good contacts you might have, and Dr. Reddy, you might have something additional to say about that?
No, I mean, I think that's a great comment. I think, I know ambulatory care sensitive conditions are a priority for the VA as part of sort of the SAIL metrics, and we are planning to do sort of additional work on, identifying, practices who are consistently doing well on ambulatory care sensitive condition hospitalizations, reducing ED visits, and identifying those practices as sort of positive deviants. But it sounds like there may be some folks on the call who may have some additional information.
Thank you. No one has written in for from those locations yet, but can you put up your contact slide?
Sure.
Thank you. No problem. The next question, is this presentation available to view later? I was unable to join at the start. And yes, this and all of our presentations have been recorded, and you will receive a follow-up email 2 days from now with a link leading to that recording. You can feel free to forward that to any of your colleagues or anyone you know that's interested in this topic and couldn't come. And with all things, with all of our recordings, they are posted on the online archive catalog. So you can just Google HSR&D Cyber Seminars, and you will find our webpage there. And we do have somebody that wrote in from Portland, and it seems like he is making himself available to be a contact. So if anybody's looking for a contact in Portland, I can put you two in touch behind the scenes. And while we wait for any further questions or comments to come in, would you like to make any concluding comments?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to present our work. You know, we're sort of also, as I mentioned before, we're, you know, doing additional analysis and looking at, you know, sites that have reduced sort of ED visits and hospitalizations over time, and looking into what makes them different.
Thank you. We do have a few, another comment from the person that wrote in from Portland. We have improved our ACSC scores greatly, but the improvement stemmed from a variety of improvement areas, but with an emphasis on accuracy of coding in the inpatient and outpatient settings that we learned from Houston. And to our commenter, if you could write in your email address, if you're open to making connections, that would be helpful. I have a few people that have written in who would like to connect with you. And he also adds, as a result, we are now number one for all 1A facilities and number six overall. So thank you for that helpful information. And again, I do have his contact info now. So if anybody would like to make a connection in Portland, VA, please feel free to write into the question section and I can put you in touch. And it's also written in that we continue to balance quality and access in the primary care world. So thank you for your valuable input. I think that may be the rest of the questions or comments. Ashok, I cannot thank you enough for coming on and lending your expertise to the field. This is very helpful. And to our attendees, thank you, of course, for joining us. And with that, I am going to close out the meeting in just a moment. And for our attendees, please take just a moment to wait while the feedback survey populates on your screen. It's just a few questions, but we look very closely at your responses, and it helps us to improve each presentation as well as the program as a whole. So we would very much appreciate your feedback. And again, if you did need that contact in Portland, you can always write into cyberseminar@va.gov, and I can provide that to you. And once again, thank you everyone for joining us. And as always, join us for our next PACT Cyber Seminar. Each one takes place on the third Wednesday of the month at noon Eastern. So thank you once again, and have a great rest of the day, everyone. Thank you so much, Dr. Reddy.
Thank you very much.